God's word coming from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when the divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that at that time they all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. The book of Acts, one of the most exciting books in the world. And I'll tell you why. Because we had just had the crucifixion and the resurrection. And all of the people were getting saved, they're getting healed, they're getting deliverance. Everybody is excited about church. Everybody is excited about the work of God and about what God has done. And all of this is happening because of something that we call the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, which is the beginning of the book of Acts, there was that wonderful experience that they had. They were all together in one place, were seeking God, praying and calling on God, sharing their meals, sharing their life together. And the Lord had told them before he ascended back to heaven to wait. Just wait here in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem. That means wait. Wait in Jerusalem till what? Till you be endued with power from on high. He told them that there was something more coming. You see, their whole question had been, well, Jesus, we've been with you these 3.5 years. You've died and you've rose again. But if you're going back to heaven, what are we going to do? We're just here by ourselves. Look at us. How are we going to live? If you're back in heaven and we're here on earth, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? He said, don't worry about it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without someone. The word is orphanus, which we translate as orphan today. He said, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you by yourself, but I will come again. And he goes on to say, I will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. And so 10 days after those appearings, the Lord Jesus gone back to heaven, the disciples gathered together praying and seeking God, and here it came. They heard it coming. They heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, heard it coming, and then they looked and here come the fire. The rushing wind had blown through, and here came fire. A great ball of fire came in the room, and it split up into little flames. And on each of their heads, it lighted and it began to burn on their heads, and the Spirit of God began to fill all the apostles. You say, well, is it necessary to have it, or is it necessary to have the Spirit of God moving in your life? Well, let's consider who was at that prayer meeting that day. There was Peter, James, John. Wow. There were all of the apostles, all 11 of them. Who else was there? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that crowd. The other women, Mary Magdalene, all of those people that you look up to, that you consider the foundation works of the church, all of those people were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God came from heaven, a gift of the Father, came down from heaven. Jesus told them the first thing he was going to do when he got back to heaven. You say, what's that? Run down the street of gold and say, whoopee, I'm home. No, my friend. The first thing he said he would do, he said, I will pray the Father that he will send you another comforter. My friend, that's the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, who or what is the Holy Ghost? Well, number one, the Holy Ghost is a spirit. He is the Spirit of God. Number two, he is God. As much as Jesus is God, as much the Father on the throne is God, the Holy Ghost is God. And God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, came down from heaven. What a sight that must have been if they could have turned the telescopes and things of earth on in those days and saw that time when the Holy Ghost. There never has been a mightier rush of power in the universe than it was that day when the Spirit of God came from the throne on high, whooshed across the universe, and lit on the heads of fishermen and tax collectors and women and all kinds of people. What a wonderful thing. So God, the Holy Ghost, not it, but him, a person, God, the Holy Ghost, came down from heaven to be in the hearts of men. You say, well, where do I find that at in the Bible? Well, you can start at Genesis chapter 1, and you can go to the last chapter in Revelation, and the Holy Ghost is all in here. He's all in here. And you say, how do you know? Well, I know because right away he says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, came when God was creating the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit came and overshadowed and came around the earth and brooded over it and brought forth daylight and darkness and mountains and oceans and animals and humans and all kinds of everything. All the creation was done by whom? By the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came and hovered over the earth that was without form and was void and full of darkness. Here comes the Spirit of God, and when he comes, he brings light into the darkness. He brings life where there was death. He brings order where there was chaos. And my friend, God the Holy Ghost is moving in Genesis chapter 1. You say, well, where does he move at in the last chapter of Revelation? I'll tell you where he moves at. The Spirit, is that what he said? Yes. How many spirits are there? One Spirit. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The wonderful truth is, my friend, the Spirit of God that came down and brought life in Genesis chapter 1 is the same God who is calling and begging and moving in your life today and causing you to come before God. He is not only our creator, and he is that because you see that. He's not only our creator, but I can tell you he is our savior also. You say, well, how could the Holy Ghost be the savior? Because Jesus is the savior. I'll tell you, my friend, when the angel Gabriel came from heaven and came to tell that little girl, Mary, that she was going to have a baby, she said, how can this be? What was the answer? The Holy Ghost will come, and the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. the Holy Ghost will come over you. And because he does, you will conceive and bear a son. My friend, that son is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The Holy Ghost is not only our creator, but he is our Savior in the end. And you know what? He, in this day and time, is our comforter. Now, it's wonderful to think about a comforter. Well, you have them on your bed. Isn't that a comforting thing? When you're cold, when you need help, that big old comforter laying on the bed, you get it, pull it up over you, you feel good about it. You say, does it mean that? Well, yes, it does. It certainly would mean that, but that's not the main thing. The Holy Ghost comes, my friend, I think maybe the word fort is right in the middle of that word comforter. The Holy Ghost comes, and he comes, my friends, to be beside of you. The word that they used was parakletos, a Greek word. And it means, we translate a comforter, it means someone who is there to be with you. Brothers and sisters, the comforter has come to be your constant companion. The Holy Ghost wants to go home with you today. The Holy Ghost wants to stay in your home and in your life. My friend, don't mistake for a minute that the Holy Ghost is just for church house stuff. The Holy Ghost is not here just for something to make you feel good when you come to church. The Holy Ghost, my friend, is there when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. The Holy Ghost is with you when you go to work and when you come home from work. The Holy Ghost is there when things are bad and when things are good. The Holy Ghost, my friend, has come to be your constant companion. He has come to abide, that is to live with you forever. He won't desert you. He won't go away from you. He won't leave you. But the Holy Ghost has come to be your constant companion. I'm thankful I grew up among a bunch of holiness people who believed in the Holy Ghost and who actively sought the Holy Ghost to be in their lives, who actively searched for the Spirit of God to come. I tell you something, folks, sometimes we're just so wound up with the things of this world. Sometimes we're so wound up with all that's going on in our life and places that we neglect the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, do not neglect the Holy Ghost. Let God's Spirit come. Find you a place to pray. Find you some place to go. Find you an opening that you can open your heart and your soul, and God the Holy Ghost can come in and be with you. He has come, Jesus said, to teach us, to guide us, to direct us. My brothers and sisters, he's not just here to say, whoopee, we're Pentecostals, we got the Holy Ghost. My friend, you go ahead and be happy about it like that. You go ahead and be joyous about it. But the Holy Ghost has come to work in your life. You say, oh, I don't know, do we need that today? Well, the scripture said that the gifts are for what? The perfecting of the saints. Now, if any of you are perfect, you may be excused. Didn't think so. So now that you know that the Spirit of God and the gifts of God are in your life to perfect what God sees that you need doing, to work on you. And I'm like LaBriska Hemphill wrote in a song several years ago, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It just took him a few days to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars, but he's still working on me. He made the universe, he made everything, but I'm telling you, God's still working on me. And if you're God's child, he's still working on you, my friend. He has come to be your teacher and guide. And when he comes, don't you just love it when somebody comes to give you something? When he comes to bring you two things. First of all, he comes to give you gifts. You say, what gifts does he give? Well, the most obvious and first gift that was given after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, was what? The gift of tongues, the gift of speaking in tongues. And somebody's going to say, oh, it was for way back yonder in the apostles' time. We don't need it today. But if the gifts and callings of God, if the gifts of God are for the perfecting of the saints and you're not perfect, then how come you don't need the gift? I tell you what, when you think that it's not for now, consider what Jesus, what he said. He said that the Holy Spirit was coming, and he said when he come, he would bring us power. You shall have power, he said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, that tells me that you say, yeah, but it still was back there. And you're telling me that Peter, James, and John, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, all those people, you're telling me they all needed the Holy Ghost to be in their life, to give them power from on high and to give them victory? And you're so good that you don't need it? You're so holy that you don't need it? I can tell you, my friend, I need the Holy Spirit to move every day in my life. I want him to move in my prayers. I want him to move in my heart. I want him to move wherever I am, because he's the one. When God speaks and you see something happen, it'll be the Spirit moving to the Word. And you say, how will I know it's the Spirit? I'll tell you. Number one test to know if the Spirit's moving. And you say, what's that? That it agrees with the Word. The Holy Spirit never disagrees with the Bible. The Bible and the Spirit are one. If it didn't, God would be in a terrible shape. So he comes to bring us gifts. And what else? He comes to cause us to bear fruit. Somebody said the acid test of whether or not the Holy Ghost is there is whether you speak in tongues or not. No, my friend. That would be the easiest thing for you to duplicate if you were a hypocrite. That would be the easiest thing for you to put on if you were a hypocrite. You say, what else? The Holy Ghost came for you to bear fruit. The acid test of whether God's Spirit is living and moving in your life and my life is how much fruit are we producing. Where is the fruit? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, temperance, all of those things, my friend. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit, if he's in your life, my friend, is not going to produce a temper tantrum 1 minute and a Holy Ghost blessing the next minute. I remember years ago, a man standing in the front of our store, and he was talking about trash, just nasty, dirty trash, old bad jokes and bad talk and all that kind of crazy stuff. And then I came out of the back, and he saw me. Oh, there's the preacher. He jumped up and said, there ain't nothing like serving God, and just went on to witness about how great God was and how good God was, and jumped and shouted around a little bit. I'm thinking, who is ever going to believe this testimony? Who's ever going to do this? Well, you know why? That wasn't very good fruit. I know what you're going to say. Well, I'm not supposed to judge anybody. You're not, but you're supposed to examine the fruit. I have a right. You have a right to expect your pastor to bear spiritual fruit. You have a right to expect me to have joy and peace and long-suffering and to live a decent and a Christian and a holy life. You have a right to expect that. And by the way, I have a right to expect that of you. If you know the name of Jesus as your Savior, my friend, I have to tell you, I'm looking for the fruit. But it's not me so much that matters about looking for the fruit. He's looking for the fruit in your life too. I saw a man one day come in a restaurant, and he sat down at, it was a bar, but not where they served alcohol. And he sat down and he began to just flirt with the waitress. First thing he did was made an off-color pass at the waitress. And he just kept on doing things like that. And then all at once he said, I'm a born-again Christian. Not a Spirit-filled one. Not a Spirit-filled one, because the Spirit doesn't act that way. So, my friend, when the Spirit comes, he is a bearer of gifts. and he's a producer of fruits, and he's an indweller of the believers. You see, my friend, you can say, God's away up yonder in heaven. And he is. And you could, but I could tell you something else. If you read the Psalms, you could find out that he's God way down in hell. He's God, what did we used to say? God is God and God don't never change. And we'd say he's God in Indiana and he's God in Idaho. He's God in Mississippi. He's God everywhere I go. He's God up in the pulpit. He's God back to the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor. You remember that song? Yeah. That's God is God, my friend. And he don't ever change. He is the indweller. He lives in here. He don't want to live out in limbo, out in space someplace, but he wants to live in your heart. And you say, well, can I have this? You can have this. And I challenge you to seek the face of God. I challenge you to pray and call on God and say, do I have to be in church to receive the Holy Spirit? No, you do not. My friend, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere present at the same time and as much one place as he is another place. My friend, you can receive it because he said, it's for you. I'm quoting from the scripture. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for as many as the Lord our God shall call. Wow. And when this comes, he's very sure when this comes that you're going to have power. It's interesting. The Greek word for power that we read from here and read this, and it's translated power, and it's a good translation. But it's dunamis. You know what English words we get from that? Dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. Wow. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes in, I have to tell you, my friend, as a little boy, 14 years old and got saved, I sat powerless in church for months. I sat powerless there with no power in my life. Just, I was saved. I knew I was saved. I had been touched by God. I knew I had been touched by God. But I was powerless. I needed the power of God in my life. And when the conviction finally hit me that what I needed was the Holy Ghost, I went forward that night and knelt at the altar and asked God with everything in me, God, will you fill me with the Holy Ghost? You say, what happened then? I don't know. You say, what do you mean you don't know? I don't know. I knelt at the altar, and sometime later, I woke up, laying in the floor. Two brethren were standing, kneeling beside of me, looking at me, and I wanted to talk. I knew I was filled with the Spirit of God, so I wanted to be able to say that I thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. And I put my tongue to my teeth to say thank you. But I discovered I could not speak English. I only spoke in the unknown tongue. And I laid there and I thought, well, I'll try again. And time again, I tried to speak. But I could not because it was so full, just running out. And I got up to stand up, and I have to tell you, I've never been drunk on anything in my whole life, but I sure was drunk that night because when I stood up, I couldn't stand up. And the Spirit of God came in. And my friend, I'm going to tell you the words to an old song, and it's for real. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides. And I'm thankful to tell you today that I have the scriptural experience of speaking in other tongues. Evidence of the Holy Ghost, but not near the evidence that bearing the fruit of the Spirit brings to us. Today, find you a place to pray. Maybe you want to get somebody to come pray with you that's a spiritual person. Find you a place to pray. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't expect to be honky-tonking on Saturday night and full of the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. Come on, holiness people, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you today for the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank you that you did not leave us orphaned. I thank you that you did not leave us here, Father, not knowing which way to turn or how to move or what to do. But I thank you, Father, that your Spirit has come to live and abide with us. And I pray, Almighty God, that your sweet blessings, Lord, will be upon us today, that you'll anoint us with the Spirit of the living God. Convict us of our need to have your Spirit in our heart. And Lord, let your Spirit steal into our hearts. Let him slip into our souls, into our minds. Let him permeate every part of our body and everything that we have and are, that we will be filled with the Spirit. Lord, I remember your apostle said in the Bible, be filled with the Spirit. Lord, I thank you for that command. And I pray that today, if there's any that are not filled with the Spirit, that they can be filled with the Spirit. And the joy of the Lord can come in and be their strength. Father in heaven, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.